I'm going to ask Pastor Dallas to come up here and join me. Join me in singing, and I invite everyone to sing along with us. In our hymnals, number 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning,
arms. I think I'm getting that last part wrong. Amen. Praise God. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Thank you for bearing through my horrible singing voice. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on God. Waiting on God. We are so blessed in this church by those of us who are obedient to God, submitted to God, work in the ministry. Let's give a round of applause for Pastor Dallas and all that he does for us. For Brother Robbie, who does so much for us. Brother Robbie does so much for us in the helps ministry, setting things up and tearing things down, and he does so at sometimes with a high level of stress and frustration, but he does it without complaint. So thank you, Robbie, for all that you do for us. Sometimes we can forget, as we pray for God's healing or his help or his deliverance, that so often that healing, help, and deliverance comes through those who are obedient to God as his instrument. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we read, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we pray that you pour out your spirit today, that you minister to our hearts. Reveal your truth into us, O Lord, and place a desire in our heart to pursue it. We submit to you, O Lord, to be your instrument for your mighty work in our lives, the lives of our family, and the lives of all those around us. We praise you now, we praise you always, for you alone are holy and righteous, for you alone are worthy, for you alone are God. In Jesus' name I pray, and in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. tragedy in my family this weekend, and I will get to that in a moment, a bit later in this sermon. I've been working on this sermon for about 2 weeks, not knowing what was coming. Half of what we as pastors preach, we're preaching to ourselves. So often as we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and guided into a sermon, that someone in our congregation will feel as if we were preaching directly to them. Without knowing anything, the Holy Spirit knew what that person needed to hear. And while this sermon, yes, is something that turns out is quite relevant and needed for me and my family today, I'm not alone. Scripture says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But that is predicated upon them first waiting on the Lord. The Hebrew that this comes from literally means waiting on waiting. To wait on the Lord is to rely fully on God, His provisions for us, waiting on Him fully and completely. Not on our own understandings, and not on the world. Not on anyone else. To wait on the Lord is to wait patiently for God to work in our lives. Too often when problems come into our life, we try to fix it ourselves. We lean on our own understandings. We lean on what others may be telling us to do. But what we're not doing is waiting on God. What we're not doing is seeking God in prayer. What we're not doing is seeking God's word for God's will and guidance in our life. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. For when we wait on the Lord, He shall renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings like eagles. We shall run and not be weary, never tired. And we shall walk and not faint. In the book of Psalms, chapter 31. The book of Psalms was to the ancient Israelites, the nation of Israel, the book of Psalms was their hymnal. It was their hymnal. We even see musical annotations. Psalms 31, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In verses 1 through 3 we read, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. To you, O Lord, I put my trust. Not in his might. David was not relying upon his might. He put his trust in God. Psalm 31 is a psalm of lamentations, but a declaration also of trust and faith and hope. Bow down down your ear to me. Listen to my plea, O Lord, is what he's saying. Listen to my plea. It says, deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. When the raging waters are rising, when you find yourself in darkness, God will be the light at the end of that tunnel to guide you through. He will be your fortress. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is just a few chapters ahead. And just as David had given us a psalm of lamentations, he was going through a hard time. Psalm 40, verse 1, it begins with, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wondrous works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Note that in Psalm 40, it begins with, I waited. David waited. Just as he had said, turn your ear to me, he says, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. God hears your prayers, amen?
Amen.
I said, God hears your prayers. Amen. I preach and listen now. God hears your prayers. You are never, ever alone. God is with you. He says he brought him out of this horrible pit and out of that miry clay. Miry clay. He tread water. He can't get out on his own. You're stuck in this situation. And there's no power of yourself that you have available to you, that you can save yourself. It is then that God will pull you out of that miry clay and set you on that rock. And he will establish your steps. He will establish the way in which he will guide you. So often we can have, the world can come at us from all sides. We have this complexity of stressors. One traumatic event or one horrible event happens, and before you can process it, something else happens. And before you can process that, something else happens. And you find yourself overcome. Wait patiently on the Lord. For he will take you out of that miry clay and set you upon that rock. As the raging waters rise, he will build a fortress around you. As you wait upon the Lord, he will lift you up on the wings of eagles. You see, whatever fiery darts the enemy may throw, throw at you, whatever that may be, God is greater. God is greater, amen?
Amen.
Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth it be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake with its swelling. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Too easy it is for us to rely on our own understanding or our own experiences or what we may think is right. But listen now. What you think is right, what your plan is, may not be God's plan. God's got a plan for your life, and whatever you're going through right now, there is a solution for it. That solution is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it may not happen in your timing, but it'll happen in God's perfect timing. Trust and rely on Him. Trust and rely on Him. Listen now. Whatever you're going through, whatever you may be facing now, maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's an addiction. You are not alone. God stitched you in your mother's womb. He's known you since before your birth. And in every moment of your life, God has been there with you. And He's calling to you now. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, we read in Scripture that He's always with us. We are never alone. And He will be with us until His return. And though the world may rage, though your flesh may be weak, though the great enemy of God and man, the devil himself, may have you fully in his sights, you can stand firm. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no power on heaven or earth, no power of the cosmos or the dark pits of hell that can stand before you when you walk with God, trusting and relying on Him. Waiting on God requires our submission to Him. That we die to ourselves so that we can live in Him. Sometimes, out of nowhere, tragedy can come. Tragedy can come and fundamentally change not just your life, but your entire family. Young lives can be permanently altered from their present course. I had said that a tragedy had befell my family at the beginning of this sermon, and I'm now going to share that with you. Start with a little backstory. My uncle, closer to being age than he is my father, he's more like a brother. And his now adult children and their children, now my his grandchildren, well, to them I'm Uncle Chris. His daughter, Nikki, bless her heart, she's a strong woman. But she's also loving and kind and respectful and loyal. Married to a wonderful man with no enemies. Loved by all who meet him. He's smart. He's funny, but not a joker. He's kind and courteous and respectful. I've never once heard him say a bad word about anyone, whether to their face or behind their back. And I can't recall ever even seeing him angry. As much as we hold, as a family, hold Nikki up in such high regard because she's earned that respect, we collectively as a whole family said when she married Adam that it was Nikki that struck gold. She was the one that won the lottery. Because Adam was just so amazing, such a great guy. The kind of guy that every parent would want their daughter to marry. College educated. Six-figure income. Tall, 6'5". Kind and courteous, loving. Perfect example of a loving husband and father. And together they have two kids. Saturday morning about 1 a.m. Nikki was awoken. By her daughter waking up, who's now 2.5. She was going into the kitchen to get something for her daughter when she found her husband, Adam, whom we all love dearly, dead on the couch. He had passed away from a heroin overdose, and it makes no sense to us that that would happen. He wasn't a drug addict. He came from a good family. His parents fell in love and married in college. They're now retired. He's got 3 sisters. By all accounts, he had lived the perfect life. And now he is gone. This highlights one point here that the endemic evil of drug addiction knows no racial or economic grounds. There is no division. It does not discriminate. Why he decided to take this, I do not know. No one knows. Only he knows, and now he is gone. It's possible he didn't even know he was taking it. I don't know yet. This just happened. It just happened. I don't know the full details yet. Our family is heartbroken. Yes, he's related by marriage. We had known him for many, many years and was loved by all of us. And now he's gone. Nikki's entire, my cousin now, her entire life has now crumbled. Their oldest now is without a father. And their youngest likewise as well. Now, the youngest is 2.5. She's too young. She probably won't remember her father, but I can tell you that right now, up to the loss of her father, she absolutely was a daddy's girl. Loved her father, and he doted on her. Both of those children's lives, the course of their lives, have been so fundamentally altered, shattered, broken because of this. The strength of my cousin was on full display as last night, not even a full day had passed, maybe 12 hours since his passing, she went and notified the whole world, all the families, friends of the family, co-workers, let everyone know that Adam had passed. I tell you, my cousin, she's a strong woman. She will endure through this. But make no mistake, inside she's just as broken as any of us here would have been had we gone through that same experience. It's what I'm telling you is this: her ability to stoically cope is not an indicative that she. It's indicative of her strength, is what I'm trying to say. Of her capacity to endure and to wait on the Lord. Drug addiction has taken over our towns, even our little towns, like here in Charlestown, Jeffersonville, Clarksville in New Albany, Salem, Indiana, Scottsburg, Austin. The list goes on. Towns being overwhelmed by drug addictions is no longer just Chicago and LA and Portland and Seattle. It's Middle America right here. And what our family is enduring now is not unique. Every single day, Americans die from this poison. It is straight from the pits of hell. There are those out there in the world that they look at drug addicts and they go, they're garbage. They ignore them. They are not. They are loved by God with intrinsic worth. Do not cast them aside as garbage. We need to reach out to our brothers and sisters in our community. Listen now. There are those out there praying for deliverance, praying for healing. So often God works through those who are obedient to Him. If you see someone hurting, reach out your hand. You see someone struggling, reach out your hand. You see someone out there that's struggling with addiction, reach out your hand. Take that opportunity to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. He who has the power to heal. He who has the power to deliver and the power to save. We don't have to carry this burden anymore. Can I get an amen? Amen. We do not have to carry this burden. When you find that it's too much to bear, just lay it down at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I give it to you. Jesus, I give it to you. So I want you to keep my family in your prayers as we're still struggling with this great loss. But I know that we're going to get through this. I know that my family will endure. And I know that by the power of God, there will be healing in our lives. Because we as a family will wait upon the Lord. From suffering to glory. In the book of Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What did I just read? But something I've been saying for years in this church now. Let me break it down for you. All the hardships, the trials, the tribulations, the heartbreak and the brokenness, none of it compares to the glory of God for the glories to come. None of it compares. No matter how bad the world may be piling upon you, it does not compare to the glories of an eternity in the arms of our Savior.
Amen.
God is good and He is good all the time. Amen.
Amen.
The worst that the world can throw at you is just a speed bump to glory. Just a speed bump to glory. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. What is hope? What is hope? But faithfully expecting God. That is what hope is. When we have a hope in God, it's not that, well, maybe it'll happen. No, we are faithfully expecting God to work in it. That's what it means to be hope. We have a hope in Christ. That's not a maybe, that's a definite article. Hope. Hope is not futile. Hope is not in vain. For God is what? Faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, and He is faithful and just to fulfill all of His promises to you. You can take that to the bank, write it on a piece of paper, and put it in your pocket. That's the truth of it. You can trust and rely on God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. See, hoping is something that's not yet in front of you. It's not yet there, but you faithfully expect it to be. Why? Because God is faithful and just. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. You see, God knows what you want. He knows the desires of your heart before you even pray. So we can, yes, we should pray, but know that God knows the desire of your heart. He knows what you need before you even ask. Now when you pray for deliverance, know that that deliverance will come in God's timing. And so often, the hardships and the trials and the tribulations of life, God will allow us to endure it so that we will go through that fiery forge of life stronger and sharper in our faith. And all the brokenness of our past that has now been healed, we can praise God for those scars, because God uses the broken. What testimony would I have if my life was perfect? Had I not struggled myself with the addictions of alcohol, how could I relate to anyone else's addiction? If I myself had not suffered such severe poverty to the point of homelessness, if had I not been so destitute, I would not truly understand real poverty. If my mind and my soul had not been so broken by my experiences of war, and healed by God, I would not understand severe trauma and pain. Praise God for all the experiences of my past, the good and the bad. Yes, the good of my past has helped to shape the character that I have. But know that all the trials and hardships, the pain, the brokenness of my past, now made whole by the power of God, by His stripes we are healed, I now have a powerful witness to the world. Not for my glory, but His glory alone. See, when God delivers you in His perfect timing, He will do so for His glory. His glory. And He is worthy of all glory, for He alone is God. And as I had said earlier, so often God's healing, His deliverance, it comes through His instruments. God's children on earth, believers who are obedient in submission to God. It's not enough to serve God in the four walls of our church. It's not enough for you to serve God in the four walls of your home. We need to serve God out on the street. We need to serve God at work. We need to serve God in every moment that we are awake, in every interaction we have with others. You see a mother who's struggling, who needs to buy groceries to feed her babies, but she ain't got no money. Hey, but you got a little extra? Buy that mother some groceries so she can feed those babies. And while you're at it, you can tell them about Jesus. We're directly called to help the widow and the poor. Too many believers today are content to just go to work and go home and live their faith with their family and at church, but they have no real compassion for anyone outside of that. If you don't love your fellow man, you don't love God. Now that's a bold statement. But see, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are the greatest of commandments? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, you'll feed yourself, but you won't feed your neighbor. You'll clothe yourself, but you won't clothe your neighbor. You'll protect yourself, but you won't protect your neighbor. Why is it that so many today, so many professing Christians have such apathy for their fellow man? Well, it's because, you see, they don't love God. They don't love Jesus. They love the image of God and Jesus that they have in their mind. How much better would this community be? How much better would our state be? How much better would our nation, the world be? If we as believers would rise up, not in some grand charity in New York City. I mean individually. You and your wife or your husband. You and your family. And you're out there and you're helping the needy, the poor, the hungry, those with drug addictions. Look, my family is hurting so bad right now. I just wish that there would have been some believer who maybe knew what he was doing and could say, hey, let me tell you about my Jesus. You don't have to hold this addiction. You don't have to carry it no more. See, God has the power to draw out that addiction right out of your veins and make you whole. Look, I was once addicted to alcohol. I got drunk every single night just so I could sleep. But praise God that he healed me and he made me whole. Now, that alcohol was just a means to numb the pain. But praise God, he has given me a joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. Look now, God is the answer. The world is falling apart. Addictions ravaging our communities. Families torn apart. And Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. There is no political solution. There is nothing. It is Jesus worked through you to the community that can heal us all. Bring families back together. Listen now, if we're just waiting for some miraculous mist to come into Charlestown and Clark County, if we're waiting for some reverse nuclear explosion to somehow put us all back together. Listen now. You are an instrument of God. And if you love God, you'll be there for those who need it.
Amen.
Where is your compassion, church? And I say church in the broader sense. Christians in this country. There's so many who do. There are so many believers who do such amazing work in their communities to help those in need. But there are so many who don't. And our families are broken. Our hearts are broken. Lives are falling apart. Our communities, our state, our nation. Look at the condition that we are in. And I lay it right down at the feet of pastors, the church, and so many believers that were content to just hand over the reins to a godless, secular world. Church, it is our responsibility to be there for our communities. It is our responsibility to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor,
Amen.
To be that comfort to those who are addicted. And don't you ever think that someone, for any reason, is disposable, that anyone is garbage that can be thrown away or kicked down the road like a can for someone else to deal with. Listen now, every human being has intrinsic worth, is loved by God. I told you earlier, God knew you before your birth. He stitched you in your mother's womb. That is true for every human being.
Amen.
Listen now. You may see someone on the street who's so drug addicted that they have gone into a psychosis. Listen now, God loves them.
Amen.
And they are not beyond healing or deliverance.
Amen.
Now you be good about it now. You don't want to go too far. You need to make sure you're guided by God. Guided by the Holy Spirit. Don't put yourself out there in a means that you can be hurt. But let God guide you on how you can help them.
Amen.
We need to feed them. You say, well, there's these city, county, state organizations. No, feed them. Many of you right now may have family members who are struggling with a drug addiction, and you don't even know it. And like me and my family, the first time you even find out that there is something there, it's because they've done died and gone. And now listen, drug addiction is a symptom of a bigger problem. Because those who are hurting seek those types of drugs to dull the pain. Listen, I know. It's what I did with alcohol. I dulled the pain with the bottle. So there's more there. God will give you discernment. God will give you guidance. Seek God in prayer. Seek Him in His Word. And listen now, you might have an uncle, you might have a cousin, and you don't really get along. But you love them. And you would not want that person, that family member, whom you may not even like, if you truly have a heart for God, no matter what pain they're going through, you don't want him to go through what my family's going through now. God is our deliverer. God is our refuge, our rock, our salvation. And yes, let's wait upon the Lord. But we cannot let that turn into apathy. You say, well, God will get them. I'm just going to stay in my house, and maybe I'll go to church, and I'll practice my faith there, and then I'll just leave the world to itself. That's how we got where we're at, church. So let us feed the poor, the hungry, the destitute. Drugs have taken over our towns. Families are falling apart and are broken. Children are losing their fathers and their mothers. Parents are losing their children. Why this is not the number one topic at the top of every hour, at the bottom of every hour, in the middle of every hour, on every news channel. more people now in America die from drug overdoses than anything else. Don't let this, what's happening to my family, happen to yours. Don't let it happen to yours. Submit yourself to God, to be His instrument. Be obedient to Him. Serve your community. Be a mirror reflecting the love and mercy and grace of Christ to the world. Be a light in this world filled with darkness. Together, as a church, and not just this congregation, but all of us here in Charlestown, if we would just come together as one body in Christ. I don't mean we got to worship together every Sunday. I mean come together for the sake of our community. There are so many people right here that are hurting. There are children that aren't getting steady food because their parents are struggling. Maybe it's a single mother or a single father. There are people right here in Charlestown that are struggling with addictions of all kinds. Yes. God is our deliverer. Jesus is the solution. And we are that instrument. You are loved, fully known and loved by God. They all are. Everyone is. For God so loved the world. Trust in Him, rely on Him, wait on Him fully. Place your full faith and trust in God. Submit yourself to Him to be His instrument. And let us together be a mirror reflecting Christ right here in Charlestown and make a difference in the lives of our family, our friends, our neighbors, the strangers, and even our enemies. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that you be with each and every one of us. Guide us and keep us, O Lord. Bring us back together again next week. Open our hearts, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.